Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, and I'm joined here today by Cody Thompson, my co-host. It's an odd day to have you in the studio.
I was going to say that I'll say the same thing every time, and every time you begin, I'm like, I should say something different.
As always, Cody Thompson. And we've got Tracy Noble, our trusty producer, and she's on mic today.
Hello, gentlemen.
Because we're going to be talking about working genius, and we got Matt, our other team member on the computer, our engineer. Hello, Matt. Matt nods his head. Good. All right. So, Cody, what's the title of today's podcast?
Last week, we dove into working genius. It was called What is Your Genius? This week, the title is Your Genius and Your Team.
And we previewed this last time. We said the application of the working genius, the six types of working genius to a team, which we were talking about before. By the way, I should let everybody know that we actually listened to last week's podcast on twice the speed.
Right.
Pretty loud. It was like a torture experiment. So we did that. We took one for the team because we wanted to make sure we didn't repeat anything.
Yep.
And we were talking about before that we were going to actually make this a team tool.
Yeah.
But we didn't want to lose all the people that could just benefit by understanding their own genius and apply it in their own life.
Right. That was part of the development of this, is like, hey, this has such applications across such a wide range of things, including your own personal fulfillment at work and what career you should do. And this has immense implications for teams and even marriages. And we thought, you know, the go-to-market for us was, how do we get it for every individual to understand what their working geniuses are? Because the next step, and this is what we're going to talk about today, is how do I apply this to my team? And you can't help but apply this to your
right.
team.
You don't need to buy an application or bring in a consultant. If everybody on your team takes this and they look at the results, the application jumps off the page.
Right.
It's like, no wonder we're successful, or no wonder we struggle, or oh my gosh, we have changes to make.
We've been watching the orders come in. This has been a tremendous launch to this. I mean, we've had almost 8,000 people already take the assessment. It's 2 weeks old, which is just awesome. We're super thrilled with that. But my favorite is watching an order come in where you'll see a person's name and it's, they buy one. And then 4 hours later, they buy 10. And I'm like, yes, this is where
exactly.
they realize so what cool. their working genius is. And now they're going to take this with their team and they're actually going to apply it.
Right. And in fact, we want to thank a few people that listen to the podcast. We know they bought it after this because they used the discount code from the podcast.
Which is At the Table.
At the Table, one word. And that's at the end of the checkout process. You put that in and you get a 50% discount.
Yep.
So it's 12
yep.
and a half bucks. Louise Hayes bought 25 of these.
Awesome.
She already knows how this applies to a team. Rich Trojan and Jonathan Kobler also brought 20. So they understand the power of how this can transform an organization or a team. In fact, we were thinking if you had 50 people, 100 people, 200 people more in an organization, everybody knew what their working genius was, it would be so much easier to work together and to figure out how to tap into our geniuses.
Let's talk about what that looks like, because I think one of the things, you know, we said on the last podcast, without this model and this framework, the four of us who are in this room would never have been able to launch this thing in 4 months. And what it looks like when people actually get positioned into their areas of working genius in the context of a team is higher degrees of morale and productivity. Like we talk about that. Everyone is psyched about what they're doing. We get more done in less time. You know, we understand each other's weaknesses. We've had more conversations where we're like, you know, mine and your weakness, Pat, are tenacity. And Tracy will sit down and be like, okay, I'm going to make you do the thing you hate, but we're going to grit and bear through it.
Well, and that's
you
the know? Thing. We all have to do things we don't like, hopefully not that often. But when we do, if we realize that we're doing it, we can actually kind of make it fun and go, I'm going to grind today and do enablement mm-hmm. things that I'm terrible at.
Right.
And people will go, way to go. You're doing the thing you hate.
Yep.
We can all do that.
I love that it's the context for many of our meetings too. We'll sit down and we'll say, okay, we're having an I meeting. We're having a D meeting. And we're so much more productive that way.
Well, I think that's a great way to start, because casting the vision for what this looks like imagine a team that everyone is in their areas of working genius. Imagine going to work and being able to spend 70, 80, 90% of your time in your areas of working genius, that your team members know what your areas of working frustration are, that we have a common language where we can actually, like you just said, we go into meetings now, or when I'm thinking about something, I'm like, oh, I'm actually discerning something. I'm not galvanizing it. I don't mm-hmm. need you to do anything with this yet.
You did that yesterday, and that was tremendously helpful in a right. conversation we were having. And I was like, oh, I get it now.
When a whole team has this framework, You know, Pat, you have the genius of invention. Just earlier, we were talking about the podcast and, you know, I was like, actually, Pat, I don't invent as well as you. You do the invention thing. I'll tell you if it's a good idea.
Right.
When you cast the vision of a team that's operating at that level, then we can work backwards from, so how do we get there?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what this is all about, the team application.
Yeah. And we're going to talk more about that because there's so many times when we'll say to somebody in the office, I don't want your enablement right now. I want your discernment.
Right.
Because their skills are E and D. By the way, I thought I should do like a 1 minute overview of the model.
That's a great idea.
Most people that listen to this will have listened to the previous one, but if you haven't, or if you just need to be reminded, here's the deal. So working genius is about the areas where you get joy and energy. And so you're naturally good at those things. And there's these six geniuses. Two of them are your working genius. Two of them are your working competency, where you can do them. You don't get a lot of joy and energy from it, but you're pretty good at it and you can do it for a while. Two are your working frustration. They drain you of your energy and joy, okay? And the six geniuses are, first, the genius of wonder, great at pondering the bigger picture, identifying when things are, there's something missing or something needs to be done, there's potential that's not been fulfilled. They're very comfortable sitting in that, pondering. The genius of invention is second. They like to come up with new ideas out of nothing. They like to invent. They like to be creative. They like novel ideas and all that kind of stuff. That's what their genius is. The third one is the genius of discernment. They like to evaluate or to judge things or to use their instinct and their intuition to tell you whether that good idea is going to work or not, what needs to be different. Maybe it's not a good idea. These are people that have good gut instincts. Fourth is the genius of galvanizing. They like to get people moving. Hey, the discerner said it's a great idea. I'm going to get people in a room and get them excited. I'm going to inspire them. I'm going to motivate them. I'm going to get things moving. I love to do that. That's galvanizing. The next one is the genius of enablement, which is a good thing. It's enabling something to get off the ground by coming along and supporting it, helping the galvanizer in the context, on the terms that they need. This is a total genius, being able to come alongside and help. The last one is the genius of tenacity, which is pushing things across the finish line, making sure that they get done, that they achieve the desired results. It goes like this: wonder, invention, discernment, galvanizing, enablement, and tenacity. So that was probably 3 minutes, but that is the six types of working genius. And on a team, you need them all.
What I would say to anyone who's looking to apply this to the team is like, the more you understand what the nuances of each of those genius or lean into them, or even meet people with the genius of wonder and sort of put them in your Rolodex of that's what a wonderer is, the more you can actually uncover and discover gaps in teams.
Yes.
What you see, as you listed all six of those, Pat, the real application comes from looking at a team and saying, oh, we're low, or we don't have people in the right seats. You know, we talked last week about...
Well, yeah, let's explain that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because Jim Collins talks about you got to get the right people on the bus. And this is really about, is a person a good fit for the organization? We talk about this in our practice. You got to have the right core values. And if a person doesn't, they shouldn't work there. And so that's critical. But once you get the right people on the bus, the question then becomes, what seat on the bus should they be sitting in? And too often, we have the wrong people on the wrong seat, but they belong on the bus. And if we're removing them from our organization purely because they're in the wrong role, that's a tragedy.
Absolutely.
And that happens so often. And sometimes you got all the seats covered, but people are in the wrong seat and you need to swap two people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes nobody can sit in one of the seats because you're missing something. So is it, do you have a gap, or is it, do you need to reorganize people? That's what this model allows you to figure out.
And the real fulfilling part, I mean, we've worked with a number of teams already who, when you do the assessment for the whole team and you start to put up their working geniuses, oftentimes there is someone on the team that would fill a gap in that team as their working genius, but their role or their title or their tenure prevented them from being, you know, their team from like pushing them into that role to fill that gap.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
We had that happen recently on our team. We hired two new people, Matt and Liam, right? First of all, we staffed them in our organization based on their team type, I mean, on their genius type. And Matt was a discerning enabler, perfect for our team and what we were doing. Liam was a galvanizing tenacity person. And we realized that we needed somebody to galvanize where he was. And he's 22 and he doesn't have any experience at our company, but he was the person we needed to galvanize. So we said, you need to kick their butts, the people on your team, to get things moving and inspire them. He's like, but I don't even know your business. We're like, it's not about your knowledge. It's not about your tenure. It's about your genius. And the people on his team were like, yeah, I know I'm 20 years older than you. I need you to galvanize me. Mm-hmm. So he's like, I get to do that? I thought I wouldn't get to do that for the next 20 years. It's like, no, you get to do that in your first 2 months because you have a God-given genius in that. What a great thing to see that and to tap into that. And that's kind of how this works.
You know what, Pat? He is so happy when he's doing it too. I witnessed him yesterday.
Really?
And he turned around and he was galvanizing the team and he had this smile on his face. It was really sweet. And I acknowledged him for doing it and that just made his day.
Right.
It's really neat to see.
Think about that. When I was on a team, the first team I was on out of college in a company, I wasn't using any of my geniuses. And so I wasn't being wildly successful by any means. And I just thought I was failing. And I was like, what's wrong with me? And it's, what's wrong is you have a job that's not tapping to any of your geniuses. And you want to be on a team where your genius is understood and utilized.
Yeah, and we're two ENFPs, Pat. So when we talk about applying this to our team, I think we take some leaps in like, oh, this is obvious. But in brass tacks language, you know, how would someone who's taken this go about bringing it to their team? And we try to equip people in the actual report itself. There is a team application section, and it's as simple as this. Get people on your team to take the assessment and share the model, right? Share their working geniuses and their working frustrations.
Literally write down the six circles or the six gears on the board. W, it spells widget, but that was kind of an accident, but spells widget. Put them on the board and then go through everybody's report and just put people's names inside the circle that they have genius. And you're going to look at a couple circles and go, nobody's in there.
Yep.
Or, hey, we have 8 of our 9 people are in the same one.
But as it relates to even our methodology, I don't want to belittle or skip over that because even in that conversation, when we talk about building trust, that is a vulnerable exercise for people to do, to talk about what their weaknesses are.
Yep.
And so this tool is doing all of this team building as you're laying this out for the team, right? Like, here's what I'm particularly bad at. Here's what I love. Oh, we haven't put you in that position to do the thing that you really enjoy and get fulfillment from. That's step one. That's not even the application piece, but it's already building vulnerability-based trust.
It is so obvious once you lay it out there. But if you don't know what they are and you haven't done the assessment and people can't tell you what their genius is, by the way, their frustrations are just as important. Yep. Mm-hmm. Can I tell a team story? Yeah. So even before this came out, we were in beta and we took one of our clients through it and it was a large software company, right? So in Silicon Valley, that kind of stuff. So we got the results back. Matt tabulated it manually because we didn't even have it automated yet. We laid it out. We showed them a picture of all six, easy to say, and we showed them where their geniuses are and where their frustrations were. And this one team had 0 of 9 people had a genius in work in the genius of wonder. Not only that, but 6 of the 9 had it as one of their lowest. So it was one of their working frustrations. So right away we said, this is a massive gap, right? As it turns out, only 1 of the 9 had invention as one of their geniuses, and he was their lawyer. So the people in engineering didn't, the people that were in the products, which is fine, but nobody else on the team really understood that. And they were just looking at their data, and finally the CFO said, this is one of our problems. Because we don't have anybody on this team that likes to ponder the environment we're in, wondering what do customers need? Is there something missing? In fact, we have no patience for wonder. Every one of our meetings has a PowerPoint, an objective, and all we want to do is get stuff done. So we're cranking all the time. If we don't start scheduling meetings where we just sit and speculate about what's going on in the environment, in the market, in the company, and we don't give ourselves time to come up with new things, or bring some other people onto the team that do this, we're never going to catch up in a product standpoint. We're never going to know what the market needs next. And that's what we're struggling with. And we will always struggle with it if we don't fill this gap.
And I love that story because this can seem like it's like a touchy-feely, oh, we're going to talk about what our strengths and weaknesses are. That company is missing opportunities in the market. This has a real impact on the bottom line of their business because their team is deficient in the genius of wonder. You know, like this is not touchy-feely. This is like, you're going to get gobbled up by your competitors if you don't have a team that's willing to step back and go, what's the unrealized potential here? What are we missing? What do we need to invent to execute better or to get a new product out there? Otherwise, you're going to get surpassed.
I was talking to Dave Ramsey. Some people here might know Dave Ramsey. He's the financial guru who helps people get out of debt. And so I was talking to him recently. He knows our company. We partner with them. We were talking talking about this, his geniuses, and wonder is not his. He right. can't stand it. And I know we've experienced this with him before. And he said, yeah, I hate wonder, man. It drives me crazy. I go to those meetings. We sit around and talk for 3 hours about what's going on. I just want to get stuff done. And he said, but you know, whenever we do that, I see there's fruit that comes out of that.
Right.
I need it. I know it. I hate it. I don't necessarily want to be there for it, but I know that there's things that come out of that that I need. And so it doesn't matter if you like it. You mm-hmm. got to make sure your team is doing it.
Yeah. And like you laid this out, these are the six activities of getting something done. I mean, right. this isn't, you can't just go like, oh, we'll just do away with discernment here. Because here's what happens. If your team is underrepresented in discernment, you will wonder about the right things. An inventor will throw out an idea. No one will say it's a good idea. And you'll end up galvanizing and executing on a bad idea. And that has big impacts on a person's business. That is exactly the story of one of the most innovative companies, consumer product company that we've worked with, where the senior innovator, when we laid out this model, you know, he said, hey, you know, this is crazy because we had a similar model, but ours was about basically jumped from ideation to execution.
And so to explain what that means is ideation is the first two geniuses, yeah. wonder and invention. That's where new ideas bubble from. Okay. The last two geniuses, enablement and tenacity, are what's called implementation. Mm-hmm. So many people think you go from ideation and go implement them. And that's what this company was doing. And they said half our ideas didn't work. We were throwing things over the wall and going, how come those people aren't implementing these? Yeah. And the implementers were going, how come these people don't think about this? These are terrible ideas. And they said, because they'd totally skipped over the middle two, which is activation, which is discernment and galvanizing. See, and if nobody's discerning those ideas, just because I like to invent things doesn't mean they're good inventions. Right. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to discern. Yeah. It's like, I talked to a guy the other day who has a team. It's a band. Okay. They're a music group, a band, and a rock group. And he
said, give him a shout out. The music's good.
Oh yeah. Harbor and Home. It's fantastic. He actually is a vendor of ours.
Yes.
He came in here, we'd hear him humming, and he goes, well, I actually am a musician. And we said, what is it? And Matt, you and Liam listened to this in the car on the way home, because he actually brought in a CD for you young people. That's like a Frisbee. But anyway, and we listened to it, and it's fantastic. So look up Harbor and Home as a group, and you'll love it. Well, he said, oh my gosh, we have to do this model, because I think we're all songwriters. Yeah. Everybody mm-hmm. wants to be the inventor. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs a discerner to go, that's a good song, that's not a good song. Let's put that one on the album, not that one. And then you need the bass player maybe who's just an enablement person who says, I'll play whatever you guys need me to play.
That's right.
But if everybody on the team is an inventor, and this is why rock groups break up, I think, sometimes, because they don't have all the bases covered.
Well, mm-hmm. and I'll just point at you two. I'm pointing at Tracy and Pat here, which is how it applied to our team. You know, because yes. we were underrepresented in some areas that we didn't really understand.
It was huge.
And Tracy, you're one of the co-founders. And Amy, the other co-founder, was you're both high in enablement and low in galvanizing. And
that's right.
Talk about that.
Well, that's how the model came about.
That's exactly how the model came about. I think for years, I mean, for 20 plus years, we were coming up with so many incredible inventions. I mean, Pat was inventing, we were discerning, but we did not have a galvanizer on our team. We would go straight to implementation and stuff would just fizzle out. We would move on. And it was frustrating for you, Pat.
Yeah.
Or that Pat had to fill that gap, right?
I mean, exactly.
Well, it is a working competency for me, not a working genius. I'm not drawn to it. But oftentimes we'd invent something and I would be like, oh gosh, I'm going to have to galvanize this. And it was wearing me out.
That's right. And at times you would give up
yeah.
and things would fizzle. And at times you would just get frustrated.
Right.
Yeah.
So this model came about and we're like, Cody is a galvanizer. We are going to let him galvanize. And it's a weird thing. So I'm the CEO, technically, right? Mm-hmm. And it's okay that I'm not the galvanizer. See, that's
right.
the thing. We tend to think, well, if you're the CEO, you have to do everything, or there's certain things you have to do. No, mm-mm. there are CEOs out there with every kind of genius. Whatever they're not good at, their job is to make sure somebody else who has that genius does that well.
That's right.
And I have no problem letting Cody, there's a certain amount of galvanizing I have to do because that's my job, but I don't have to be the chief galvanizing officer here.
That's right. That's the beauty of being on a team.
Yep.
You could leverage one another's strengths.
You know, I love the beauty of being on a team. This model, I think more than anything that we've encountered or come up with or used, is like the beauty of it is we need each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody can just go do all six of these things on their own. They could, but half of them would be miserable.
That's right.
What I love about this is when you sit down with your team around your table, it's like, you know, I need Matt's enablement in order for us to get this done. And so when you look at this as an individual and understand what your working frustrations are and what your working geniuses are, the next thing you should do is exactly this, is go to your team and say, I need to know what all of yours are so that we can put you in a position to be successful and happy and fulfilled, and that we can actually do all six of these required activities to get stuff done.
And Tracy, you were just talking about how the model came about, but where did it start? Who was the one who provoked all of this?
Oh, it was Amy. It was her wonder.
Right. And how did that happen?
You were doing a webinar, and after the webinar, you were frustrated with something and you were talking about some potential. And she paused and she said, Pat, how do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? And
it was just asking the question, which she does naturally. Like, there's something here.
And she felt bad about asking the question for years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she did. I think we sort of squashed it in many ways. Now we let her fly. We listen to her more. We're always listening to her wonder now.
But just yesterday, I was like, what are you feeling some angst around? I want to pay attention to that.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
Which normally before we'd be like, hey, don't get so angsty. We're just going to get this done. Let me galvanize everyone.
Yeah. We had a consultant named Zach who wrote in and said, I've been a wonderer my whole life. And so often on teams, people are like, you need to be more of a team player. Why are you always asking, like, why are we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, now I realize that is my God-given genius. That's why I do what I do now. And I'm going to not apologize for that. I'm going to explain to people, this is how I add value. Somebody mm-hmm. has to do this.
Right.
Yep.
So Pat, what I would love for you to do actually is, you just went through the six really briefly, right?
Yeah.
Now go through the six, but talk about a team that's underrepresented in one at a time. So like help people, give the handles to this, like help people assess, oh, my team might be missing X or Y or Z.
I hesitate only because it's simplistic.
Right.
I mean, we're going to do this very, and because there's a lot of variables. But let's just say we're at a team what was egregiously missing one.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a team was missing wonder, they might not be inventing solutions to problems that have really been properly wondered about.
Mm-hmm.
They might just be like, hey, I have an invention. All right, that's a good one. Let's go. Everybody get started. I'll support that. We'll get it. And they might look back and go, was that really worth doing?
Why did we do that in the
what
first
What was the
place?
Purpose of yeah. all that? So there's people that do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, nobody ever really decided that was worthwhile.
Right.
We're just inventive. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now let's say a team that doesn't have invention. They're going to wonder about issues and they're going to go out and keep polishing the same things in their organization that they've done before. And they're not going to be coming up with that new way of doing things. You see companies that are on a slow decline over the years
mm-hmm.
because they keep milking the same products and the same services and the same solutions, and nobody's saying, wait, 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 I think there's a new way to do this. So without invention, you might find there's just not that upswing. Without discernment, this is huge. So without discernment, you're going to find yourself acting on a lot of inventions and a lot of ideas that are not worthwhile. Not because it's not solving a valid problem, but it's just not a good solution to that problem. The discerner is the one that says, that's a great idea. You know, it's like, I like to think like without discernment, that rock group, they need that person to go, hey, you guys have written four songs. This one is a hit. These three over here, mm-hmm. not so good. They need that person who has that judgment. And so if without discernment, you're going to be acting on a lot of things and wondering why somebody didn't stop you before you moved on something that wasn't a great idea. Without galvanizing, there's not going to be a lot of passion around something. It's like, we have a great idea. Okay, and people are going to dutifully go do it, but nobody's actually going to keep inspiring them and putting it in front of them and helping them understand why it's worth caring about. So oftentimes you'll find that there's less excitement and morale than is warranted. Without enablement, people are going to be coming up with great ideas and nobody's going to be helping. They're going to feel underappreciated. And so we worked with a team once who didn't have a lot of enablement. And everybody was inventing. Everybody wanted to discern. They wanted to galvanize. And they would go, how come nobody helps?
Right. They can't get any project off the ground.
Right. Because people with enablement go, I will answer the call on your terms because this is the only way this is going to work. And then finally, without tenacity, you might do all the right things. And then it just never quite lands. It never quite has the impact. You know, I like to say, like, when I write a book, without Tracy bringing tenacity to the table, the ending is just going to be... You ever watch a movie and go, why didn't the ending was terrible. They just gave up. Yeah. They got bored. They're like, and okay. And then they walked off. And it's like, I think I need a little bit more clarity on that.
Yeah, yeah.
And because things just don't ever quite get wrapped up and finished. And so that's kind of the examples if you're lacking any of these. And it really does play out that way.
Right.
Yeah.
And as someone who has used this or had dozens of conversations now with different teams, I mean, you know, you sound like a magician sometimes because you're like, you map the team out and you're like, hey, I think you guys probably struggle with this. Like your projects fizzle out because you have no one there to help.
And they're like, how did you know?
I know. Like, are you tapping our meetings? But it really is that powerful and that simple to lay this out and say, so that's it when they're underrepresented. The other thing is to find and discover geniuses that already exist on the team that haven't been put into the right seat.
Exactly.
That's happened almost with every team. I mean, the team you mentioned about where the lawyer was the inventor, just by title, there would be almost no way that he would get to do any of that.
Right.
You know, it'd be like, oh, we don't need your lawyer hat anymore. You know, but if you think about it in the context of a team, we need each other. Let's put him or her with the genius of invention in the seat where they can invent.
You know, years ago, Tracy, remember this, one of our first clients was a manufacturer of handbags, purses.
Yes.
And there was these four guys. They lived in San Francisco in the Marina, not very far from you, Matt. They had this one guy, one of their friends, they hired him to be their, like essentially to be their facilities guy and to move boxes and ship things.
Yes.
As it turns out, his name was Marcello, which is awesome because it sounds very, of course he grew up in Walnut Creek. So it wasn't like he was like from Milan or someplace, but he had a gift for design. They always said we turned our janitor into our designer. And Marcello became one of the top designers of handbags for women. And he was like a 23-year-old kid that was just like, I need a job and I'm your friend.
Yeah.
And so what a great thing when we can figure out what our genius is and go, you're an inventor or you're a galvanizer or you have the gift of tenacity and put them in the position to do that. Everybody comes alive.
Oh, yeah.
And what I would say is if you're one of the listeners who actually went and used the code and bought this thing, there's two scenarios that I see. And one of them's kind of sad where it's like, now I know my genius and I'm confused about how I'm going to get my team on board with this, you know, or I can't actually use those things at my job or in my role. And then the other side of the equation is, now I know this. I need to get my whole team on board so that we can actually utilize this in this way.
And that's why we priced it the way we did, Cody. Everybody, including Dave Ramsey, said, Pat, this is worth a lot more than this. I mean, you could charge a lot. And we said, no, we want it to be an afterthought that people do this. The people say, I'm going to have my whole family do this.
Absolutely.
At Thanksgiving, we're going to be together with another family. We're all going to do it because we travel together and we are going to laugh hysterically about why some of our vacations were kind of, I don't know, what's the right word, you know, what's a good, you know.
Frantic and unplanned?
Yes, okay. Charlie Fox, that's what I was saying. Charlie Fox.
There you go.
Because I look back now and I go, oh my gosh, we had nobody with tenacity.
Absolutely.
Or nobody with discernment. Planning that. And so how did we end up here at, you know, the world's largest ball of twine? It's like, because nobody thought about it.
Yeah.
But the point of the matter is we want everybody to go, let's see how this is going to change the way our team works, our family works, our company works without having to worry about, oh, it's a big, huge, it's not. It's right now it's $12.50.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And after that, it's going to be $25 whole.
And even speaking personally, it's just, I've always enjoyed working here. I really have. I mean, we drink our own champagne or eat our own dog food, whatever you want to say. It's a great culture. But since inventing this model, I've got to do more around discernment and galvanizing. Like in the last 4 months, I get on these calls to just talk about working genius. And I think it's great. And I want companies to adopt it and people to use it. And you could line those up for me all day and let me do those. And I'll go home more. Certainly you go home exhausted, but it's the good exhaustion of like, man, I got to use my gifts and my skills. That's the picture I want to paint for people is like, if you get your team on board with this and you can actually put people in the right positions, this does exactly like we said at the beginning, it allows you to like eliminate a frustration, eliminate guilt, and really live into what would be a fulfilling job for you.
During we had our big broadcast and a lot of people on the podcast listened to it and you could still go back and do it. That was our live stream event. And we had Joy, one of the people in the area who's one of our podcast listeners. She came in and afterwards she said, Pat, that whole thing about guilt and judgment is huge. And that is when you know one another's frustrations and geniuses, you stop judging people and you stop feeling guilty about your own. And just this morning, I remember I was laying in bed and I was thinking about my son, Matt. I asked him to do a task yesterday and I thought, I was asking him essentially to invent something. And I thought, oh, you know, I'm assuming he can do that because I can do it. Mm-hmm. But what he's good, if I invent something, he's the one that's going to tell me this will work or not. So I kind of came to him this morning and I thought, I don't want to dog him for not inventing well. And we kind of talked about that today. When I got in, I was like, well, Matt, this isn't exactly what I want. It's like, oh yeah, I'm not the inventor. I'll discern it. Pat, I need you to take a first crack at this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So to avoid having a very difficult lack of understanding is huge.
And we've all done that. I mean, it's not like, I remember one of our colleagues that I used to be like, man, why isn't this guy as passionate as I am about this stuff? And then he took the assessment. I was like, oh, you hate galvanizing? Oh, that's okay. You know, I'll do it for both of us. You know,
you have enough to do for everyone in this room. Let me tell you.
One of our teammates, Lynn, had said something to me 2 days ago around the model that I thought was just amazing. She said, Pat, I finally figured it out. She's really high on tenacity. Mm-hmm. That's her main thing. She's also high on wonder. Mm-hmm. And so we'll go to her with a new program and we think she's going to kick butt on this. And she'll sit and ask questions. Mm-hmm. And she said, Pat, here's the thing. If I don't believe that it's actually doable, and that it's not going to turn into something fruitful, I can't even engage. Because we would always say, come on, Lynn, just help us out. And she's like, no, wait a second. But why are we doing it? And is it going to work? And do you think we can actually, are we going to follow through on it? We're like, well, just get started. And she said, Pat, if I don't think that it's doable and I can't, don't ask those questions until I believe that you're serious, I can't do it because it will be too painful for me with tenacity to actually get involved in something that doesn't get finished.
Which is amazing because I am guilty of being frustrated by that in the past.
Oh yeah, we've said, Lynn, come on.
Yeah, let's just get on board. And now, even this morning, Tracy and I were in a meeting and I was like, oh, tell me more about that. It allowed me to slow down and go, oh, Lynn is paying. You just, we talked about it last time. You appreciate that about other people instead of being frustrated by it.
Yes.
And I just have to share, T is a working competency of mine. And the two of you, it's a working frustration.
We rely on your T a lot.
We rely on my T a lot. And the fact that Lynn is on our team now and she has T gives me so much joy and relief that I'm not the only one. It's so huge for me. So on the flip side of it, it's like, I am so much more fulfilled because I know you guys aren't just going to rely on me for my tea.
You know, think about our team here. Well, let's really quickly do this. So there's five of us. Lynn's on our team as well. Lynn's our only W as a genius,
I think. That's right.
Okay. And she does ask a lot of good questions like that. I'm the only I as a working genius. All four of us in this room have D as a working genius.
Yep.
So we love discernment, which is a big designing new things. G... You only have it me. As a working genius. That you're the only one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. E, Tracy and Matt are both working genius E and the only two. Mm-hmm. And then tenacity, Lynn is the only one with it. You have it as a working competency. So if you think about the W and the T, we need Lynn.
Yeah.
And yes,
we can go to her and go, here's why.
Yes.
And let me tell you, without this model, we'd have never done that.
Absolutely.
Never had any understanding of that at all. So that's right. Lynn's not in the room with us. We should.
Thank you, Lynn.
Yes.
We'll
thank
go
you.
Out Let's, there and appreciate
this
her.
Podcast brought to you by Lynn Fiorindo, our resident WNT. And that brings us to the end of our podcast.
Yep.
And we just want to thank you for joining us. These last two have gone long because we're so excited about this. And I know a lot of you are driving or you're listening to this and you're not near a computer, but take advantage of this while it's half off. And we love to get messages from you about how it's worked and what you've learned and how it's being applied. We'd love to share those with people. And again, whenever you send us anything like that, we send you a handy dandy at the table notebook. So with that, we'll say thank you, everybody, and God bless.